I've got another short story for you today, and this one was written in Malayalam by the great Malayali writer T.S. Pillai. Now, it might be possible that you're not familiar with the author or his works, and in that case, I would recommend you to start following our newsletter on Substack. It goes by the name of Kalampedia, and in the coming edition, you will know more about T.S. Pillai and his works. For now, let's come back to our story, which is called The Flood, and it was translated into English. And I'm going to narrate the English version. So here we go, The Flood by T.S. Pillai. Let's start. The highest spot in the countryside was occupied by the temple. But even there, the deity now stood in water up to its neck. Water, water everywhere. The people of the countryside had all gone to look for dry places. If a house owned a boat, one person stayed back to guard the possessions. In the three-roomed upper story of the temple, there were 67 children and 356 older people, dogs, cats, goats, and fowls, together in peaceful coexistence. Chenapariya had been standing in water for one whole night and day. He had no boat, and his master had fled for his life 3 days before. When the first water began to peep into the house, he had already built a loft with sticks and woven coconut leaves. He spent 2 days on it, hoping that the flood would quickly subside. Also, there were four or five clusters of bananas and a hay rick, which some smart chap might have carried off if he left the house. And so, he remained. Now there was knee-deep water above the floorboard of the loft. Two rows of the coconut leaf thatch on the roof were already underwater. From inside, Chenan called out, but who was there to hear him? A pregnant Periya woman, four small children, a cat, and a dog. These were his dependents. He was sure that within 12 hours, the water would flow over the roof, and that would be the end of all. For 3 days, there had been no end to the rain. He broke open one row of the thatched roof and looked in all directions. There was a large boat paddling northward. He called in the loudest voice he could summon to make the boatman hear. Luckily, they understood the situation and turned the boat towards the hut. One by one, Chenan pulled his woman, his children, the cat and the dog out through the opening. By that time, the boat had drawn close. The children were climbing into it. When Chenan heard a cry, "Hey, Chenacha!" Someone called from the west, and Chenan turned towards the voice. This was Kunjepan from Madhyathara crying out from his housetop. Chenan hustled his wife into the boat. Taking the opportunity, the cat leapt in. Nobody remembered the dog. He was at that moment sniffing around the west side of the house, examining things on his own. The boat moved forward and its distance from the hut widened. The dog returned to the spot where he expected the family to be and saw the boat already far away. It seemed to be flying away. He began to howl in alarm. He produced a succession of sounds like a helpless human being in distress. But who was there to hear him? He ran on all four sides of the roof and smelt in places and howled on. A frog perched on the hut heard the cry and, frightened, jumped with a plop into the water. The dog stood staring in fear at the spot in the water ruffled by the frog's jump. He wanted food and went searching for it all round the hut. A frog urinated into his nostrils and slipped off into water. The restless dog sneezed and coughed. With one of his front paws, he cleaned his face. The rain started pouring again, and the dog crouched under its fury. Meanwhile, his master had landed safely at Ambalapuzha. It was night. A huge crocodile floated by slowly, almost brushing the hut. The dog howled in fear, tail down, but the crocodile passed along, not noticing. The wretched animal sat on top of the hut and looked up at the dark sky and howled, and his sad cry must have been heard far and wide. The kindly god of sound, Vayu, bore the cry to other shores. Some people heard it and perhaps murmured to themselves, "Ayo, a dog is left desolate on the housetop. What a shame." Perhaps his master was having a meal on the shore to which he had gone. The dog always used to get a rice ball after his master had eaten. Perhaps now the master remembered the animal as he ate. The dog's howl, loud and long, began to grow feeble. He heard a voice chanting verses from the Ramayana, pricked up his ears, and fell into silence for a long time. Then, as if his heart would break, he started howling again. In the utter silence of that dark night, the chanting of the Ramayana filled the air. The dog again pricked up his ears and listened intently as he stood motionless. The sweet tones of the chanting mingled with the cold, unabating wind. And the only other sounds that could be heard were the sound of the wind. He found that his tender nose had become red and swollen. In the afternoon, two men passed along in a small boat. The dog barked and wagged his tail hopefully. He tried to make them understand his plight in as a human way as possible. He stood in the water, poised to jump into the boat. "Hey, there stands a dog," shouted one man, as if he understood the compassion in that voice. The dog wagged his tail in gratitude. "Let him be," said the other man. The dog prayed with his eyes and tried twice to jump into the boat, but the boat moved further and further away. As the dog started howling again, one boatman turned his head, looked back. "Ayo, no, that was not the boatman calling. It was the human groan of the dog." That anguished, exhausted cry mingled with the shrieking of the wind and was heard once again above the ripple of the waves on the water. The dog stood gazing at the boat till it was out of sight. As if hating the world and saying goodbye to it, he mounted the top of the hut. Perhaps he was saying to himself that he would never love man again. He lapped up some cold water. He looked at the birds flying overhead and at a water snake gamboling in the waves. Through the opening from which Chennan had pulled out his family, the water snake got in. The dog watched. Goaded by the fear of the death and gnawing hunger, he barked loudly. Anyone could have understood him now, for the language he muttered was universal. Storm and rain started again. The roof was becoming unsteady because of the continuous lapping of the waves on its foundations. A long head looked out of the water. It was a crocodile. Fowls were crying in unison from somewhere nearby. The dog heard human voices once again. From where is the dog crying? Haven't the owners abandoned the hut? There, near the banana tree, the dog saw moored a boat filled with bunches of bananas, straw, coconuts. He turned towards the boatman and barked angrily, edging close to the water. One of the men in the boat reached up to the banana tree. The other warned, "Be careful, it looks as though that dog will jump." He did jump, so that the man let go his hold and fell into the water. The other man helped him back into the boat. Meanwhile, the dog swam out of the water and perched again on top of the hut. The robbers cut every single cluster of banana. Hearing the dog's furious bark, they said, "Wait and we'll show you." They piled more straw into their boat. Finally, one man climbed on the top of the hut. The dog fastened his teeth on the man's leg, bit off a mouthful of flesh. Crying in agony, the man jumped back into the boat, while the other man gave one resounding blow on the dog's head with his oar. The dog cried in a faint voice, "Wow, wow." Soon, even that sound could not be heard. The man who was bitten lay in the boat and cried aloud, and the other steered the boat away. For a long time, the dog kept on barking at the receding boat. It was midnight by then. A large dead cow came floating by and was caught near the hut. The dog came near it and looked at it, but did not dare climb down. Slowly, the carcass grew disentangled, moving downstream. The dog sprang on it then. Tail wagging, he dug his teeth into the carcass and gorged himself on the plentiful flesh. Abruptly, the dog disappeared as the carcass went under for a while. After that, one could only hear the howl of the storm, the croaking of frogs, and the sound of the waves on the river. The dog was silent. His heart-rending cries and moans were no longer heard. Rotten carcasses floated down the river, crows pecking at them undisturbed. There was desolation everywhere, and nothing to prevent thieves from plying their trade. After a while, the hut collapsed. There was nothing to be seen now in that endless expanse of water. Till his death, the dog had guarded his master's possessions. The crocodiles had him now, and the hut was almost finished. The water began to recede. Chennan came swimming towards his hut to find out what had happened to his dog. Underneath a coconut palm, he saw the dead body of a dog gently swayed by the ripples. With his fingers, Chennan turned the carcass over and looked at it. He doubted whether it was his dog. One ear had been bitten off, the skin had rotted, and that made it difficult to tell the color. That's the end of the story. Let me know how you found it. Let me know which other stories, which other languages you would want me to cover next. And I'll be back again with more stories and more books. Thank you. Thank you very much for listening.